So here we are in the season of Advent. I can't even believe we're here already. It just seemed like it came rushing upon us all of a sudden. I'm not even completely done with Thanksgiving yet. I still have a fair amount of turkey yet I have to consume and some dressing that sits out there yet. I couldn't believe that as we go through the season of Advent, of waiting, I'll have to wait a few more days, maybe a couple more weeks before the weight that I thought I had lost, I put back on during this season of, or during the weekend of Thanksgiving. I have to wait a little bit longer till that comes off, but the story always goes easy on, easy off, so hopefully it'll be that way. Advent. It's a time of waiting. As we mentioned with the kids, it's a time to reflect on promises, most assuredly, and above all, the promise of Jesus' second coming, of his return. We've waited now as a church for a long, long time, and it's easy in the process to begin wondering whether this is actually going to happen. It's easy to just kind of get caught up on, well, maybe with the world, wondering whether it's actually going to happen, and we get distracted into other kinds of things. But it is a time for us to wait, to begin to prepare ourselves, or at least be in the process of preparing ourselves for that second coming, something that's not always easy to do. But it isn't easy just to wait. You know, I can remember a particular time a number of years ago, about 15, 20 years ago, maybe closer to 25 years ago. My wife and I had kind of gone to bed, and we were at odds with one another, and I'm trying to put this lightly. We were at odds with one another, some discussion going on, and as Gary Smalley, who does premarital counseling, always says, you know, I told her everything I felt she needed to know. And she wouldn't listen, and she kind of did the same for me, and I wasn't listening, and there we were in bed, and I just couldn't sleep anymore, and I just got up, and I decided then that I would take time just to go out into the living room, sit in a chair, and reflect upon what had just taken place. And I decided that I was kind of so upset and perturbed by the whole thing and not knowing where this was going to go, I figured I would just sit in that chair until the daybreak, wondering and thinking about what was going on. And as I sat in a chair and sat there about 10 minutes, before long, I was asleep. All the issues and concerns that were there were no longer a bother. But it's hard just to sit somewhere and wait. I remember as a kid doing that as well. We had a cousin who always invited us to this great big recreation center once a year, and I can remember waiting for him to come to pick us up, and wouldn't come, took hours. Of course, I didn't realize he wasn't going to pick us up until closer to 3 in the afternoon, but as far as I was concerned, when I got up in the morning, he should have been there. And so I waited and waited and waited, found myself kind of getting bored, falling off to sleep as a young kid, waking up again wondering, is he here yet? Did I miss him? That's what happens when all we do as we wait is just to sit. It just doesn't work. Really, what we need to do is be about doing something. How many of you who have gone to college or even high school have pulled all-nighters? I've done a huge number of those. As a history major, had to write a lot of papers. Never really did it until the night before. Did all my research ahead of time, but I couldn't get inspired until the night before, and then I'd have to sit down all night long and write this paper. And I found it extremely easy to do. Things just flowed together. The more on edge I was, knowing that the time was getting near, things just flowed out, and it made writing very easy. And I never had any trouble staying awake. All night long, I could be working on that. At 8 a.m., I'd walk into class, throw the paper down, I was ready to go, sitting through another hour lecture. It was then that it usually hit me, and I found myself drifting off, wondering, oh my gosh, is this class ever going to end? Just waiting and doing nothing, we end up doing what happens. We, like the story of the 10 maidens, we end up falling asleep if we don't plan ahead. And so during this season of Advent, it seems that as we wait, we wait, for example, for the coming of the Lord in a second coming, or whether we wait on the Lord to come into our lives, to break in the many ways and means that God has of breaking into our lives during this season, not just in preparation for Christmas, though that is a part of it, but just waiting for God to come and touch our lives. We can't just do it sitting around waiting. We have to be about something. We have to be about doing something. And it seems to me that during this season of Lent, then, part of what takes place is not just remembering the promises of God, but maybe it's time for us as well to remember our own promises. The promises that you and I made at baptism. Now, most of you are going to say, hey, Pastor, come on. I was a young child. How can I make those kind of promises? Well, every time that we meet around that baptismal font, every time that we find ourselves as a community of faith gathered, even if symbolically around that baptismal font, we are not only remembering our baptism and God's actions there, but we are taking upon ourselves the promises. We are making them our own. A lot of people like to think that that's what confirmation is all about. Confirmation is a time in which we remember the baptism, more importantly, taking on the promises that were made there as our own. That true or not, but throughout our Christian life, that's what's happening. Promises were made, things were said, and it's important that we remember them. If we could have our screen come up here. Promises that we make at baptism. That's a good part of what we need to be doing here during this Advent season. Let's hit the next screen. So at our baptism, a presider or someone asks you a series of questions, and it begins this way, or makes some statements, promises. You are here to receive the gift of baptism and to accept the gifts and responsibilities included in the same. It's easy for us, it's quick for us to remember the gifts that God gives to us. Sometimes we need to be reminded, and we do that a lot during sermon time, during baptismal remembrance time, the listening to text. Those are moments in which we're reminded of the gifts of baptism. Seldom are we reminded of the responsibilities included in baptism that we also in turn affirm. So let's look at the first one that is asked. To live among God's faithful people. Some of you are probably saying, you're preaching to the choir. And you are the ones who are coming here to, as God's faithful people, to live among each other, to practice together the faith, to learn from each other, to listen together so that we can in turn come to understand what does it mean to live as faith, to live in trust of God. So you are completing that part of your promise here. What's the next one that it says? To participate regularly in the Word of God and the Holy Supper. We point easily to the experience of worship. That is a time in which God's word is proclaimed and the sacraments are shared. We participate in the bread and wine of communion. We gather around the font. Sometimes there are actually baptisms that cause us to gather or confirmations. All those are moments in which Holy Supper sacraments are shared, and it's the moment in which the word of God is proclaimed with integrity as well as with, we pray, some sense of clarity. When in all the world we wonder, what is God saying? What is God thinking in the midst of the issues and concerns that are going on here? With security and with confidence, we can gather to hear the very words that God wants you to hear through preaching and through reading, through hymns and through prayers. Those are the moments in which God regularly, note that key word, regularly proclaims his word and communicates his love through Holy Supper. So we make the promise to participate regularly in that. That's a loose word, I know. And these days we're always asking, it depends on how you define regularly. I'm going to leave that up to you, but I have my ideas. If you'd like me to share them with you, I can talk to me after worship. The next one, to learn to trust God. Now there's an important part of the promises that we make. Learn how to trust the promises that God has made. Learn how to trust that through word and sacrament, God communicates, God says important things to us, and we have to learn how to trust those things and to face the issues and the darkness of the worlds that we find ourselves in to be able to trust that God is with us, that the promises made at baptism, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth, is real and true. We learn together how to do that. That's the promise we make at baptism. What's the next one? To proclaim Christ through word and deed. This is the most fundamental aspect of ministry and mission within the church today. One that's probably somewhat not taken as seriously as others. We talk a lot about proclaiming through deed. Many of us would love to be able to be examples of Christ's life or living as Christian people. Few of us maybe are less likely to proclaim what it means to be Christ's people or to live in God's word. It is essential that both of those aspects accompany who we are. And in baptism, we promise to be proclaimers, to be those who take the seed of the word and scatter them through our actions as well as through our words. And what's another promise that we make? To care for others and the world God made. Never seen a Lutheran church, and this one is also true, where that is a weak part of our mission and ministry. St. Luke's does this part really quite well. Does it mean that we can do more? Obviously, most assuredly, and we have groups and committees and organizations in this church that try to help expand our vision and our view as to how we can care for others and the world that God has made. That part of the ministry of the Lutheran Church has increased tenfold over the last 10 to 15 years as the ELCA. And I would have to affirm, as we remember the old the banner that once hung right there up until this last Sunday, contribution to world hunger, you win that banner. You've done something significant. You've made a large contribution. You've shown your commitment to that ministry, and that we affirm. That is part of our commitment at baptism. There's yet another. And to work for justice and peace among all people. Now that's an ongoing kind of thing that churches of the ELCA are learning to do. We have to be, in certain ways, advocate for justice and work for peace, not only among nations, but in our community as well, and particularly living that out within our churches, learning how to be people who are dedicated to the task of peace and not conflict. Are we learning to do that? Yes, and most assuredly, it is a principal aspect of our life and our commitment at baptism. Now, there's a line missing there. There's two sections there with a little opening, a vacancy, and I think that of all the things we need to learn clearly and be a part of, it's this one that's coming, and we're going to bring it up in just a second. It seems to me that it's been a force of what I've tried to say since I've been here. I came 3 months ago. It has been a center of the focus of the faith formation team and committee over the last several months. Continues to be a strength and a call on the part of the church council to the life and ministry of this congregation. And it will continue to be a focus of the staff of this church at St. Luke's. Let's pull it up. And that is to nurture a life of study and prayer. Actually, I changed the word in that because it really says to nurture a life of faith and prayer. But in this particular case, I think it's the same, study and prayer. For it is in study that we begin to identify why it is that we can look at God as being trustworthy. It is how we develop a sense of faith, because in our study of God's word, we discover a God who is faithful, who is there for his people, who responds to the needs of the people. So study and a life of prayer, we have committed ourselves to from the time of our baptism. It is essential during this time of transition that we are involved in it. This transition period in the life of this congregation began in prayer amongst the church council and continued on through the transition team, and must be the really a foundation of the life and purpose of this congregation, to pray for the team, to pray for the future pastor that God has in mind for this congregation, to pray for each other that we can shape and understand and nurture the ministry that is so important, that we begin to understand to what God is calling us and how we can be active in the life and ministry and mission of this congregation. So to be about the to nurture a life of study and prayer are essential for as promises that we have made at our baptism. So Advent is a time not just to look at the promises of God. Those are important, and we will be spending the next three Sundays looking at them clearly. But it seems to me as well, Advent is a time for us to recapture the promises that we have made at baptism, so that as God reveals his own, we can trust, we can be fervent in prayer, we can come to a deeper understanding of who we are in our mission and ministry. This is most certainly true, and this is the call during this Advent season. Amen.